himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer: I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to him who is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father who has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man.
Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking us in your word. And we pray now that through your Holy Spirit, you will enable us to understand what you are saying. Lord, we are dead and blind and deaf in ourselves. So we need your Spirit to open our ears and hearts and eyes and mind, so that we may grasp what you have to give us. So Lord, grant us that special blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've got something to celebrate today, friends. To begin with, the completion of our building. This week, the painter put a finishing touch to it by placing our name on the front. And we trust that it will be a great tool for whatever we want to use our building for. We also celebrate the arrival of spring, hence lots of flowers around us. And we can enjoy them in a land where the church has freedom to do its things. And I feel we are really a privileged lot with all that we have and what we can do with it. And we thank our God for it. And yet all these things, all these privileges are only minor compared with what we are really on about here at the branch. There is a joy and a fire in our hearts that has nothing to do with our nice building or with the beautiful island we live on or with the great people we may meet. Our real excitement is about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And in order to understand what that is and to receive that for yourself, we want to listen this morning to what Jesus himself has to say in the Bible passage we just read. He's talking here about big things, about moving from death to life. And to see how special that is, we only have to think of our common human experience that the life of each of us is slowly moving to an inescapable death. Whatever is a life. We can celebrate today the arrival of spring and all these beautiful flowers. And it looks very promising, these blossoms here. In a few days, we'll all be gone. And it's the same with us, human beings. We're all moving slowly from life, as we know it, from earthly life, to death. But Jesus tells us that you can go the other way. You can move from death to life. And that's the theme for our service today, spring to life. Now let me take you for a moment to Jerusalem, the city where our story plays. Jesus has just healed a man who had been paralyzed for no less than 38 years. And he told him, pick up your mat and walk. Straight away, the man did just that. I don't know whether we have any physiotherapists amongst us this morning, but being able to do that for your patients would be a great help, wouldn't it? For the patients, I mean. Not for your wallet, of course, because you're out of a job in no time. But that day, this is what happened. One word of Jesus sufficed the man to do what he had never been able to do, to use his legs for walking. You can imagine, the man is overjoyed. But not everybody is happy. Verse 16, so because Jesus did these things on a Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus is in trouble because he did something good. But strikingly, he doesn't defend himself by saying, don't you see what a joy I brought in the life of this man? Can't you rejoice with him instead of being critical of me? But no, he says something that makes them all the more angry. My Father, and he means God the Father with that, is always at work for the good of people. And that's why I do the same. Now the Jews understood very well what he meant. And their conclusion is, this man is a blasphemer. He considers himself equal with God. No man can do that. Now, I don't know about you, but I can understand their anger. I mean, they see a man, clearly a human being, making a claim which is too ridiculous for words. I am the Son of God. I'm actually not from this world, but I came from heaven. Now, who would believe a claim like that? He is either a con man who lies through his teeth, or he is a man who lost his mind and for safety reasons better be locked away. These are the two options the Jews see. Jesus is either a clever cheat or a lamentable patient. But friends, we have a lot of documentation about Jesus' life, about what he said and what he did. Four books in the Bible tell us about him. If he had been a liar, or if he would have been a misguided patient who thought of himself higher than he ought, he would have been caught with contradictions in no time. A liar can only manage so long, and then the truth comes out. You'll have experienced that for yourself. You tried someone get out of a difficult situation by a little lie, you think. But then someone asks a question, you have to add another lie and another one and another one. And in the end, you have to make up a whole picture, and suddenly this whole picture falls apart because it doesn't fit anymore. That's what happens with liars. But in Jesus' words and his deeds, there is never any contradiction. Read it for yourself. He's always the same. He is always consistent. And that is the very mark of truth. So apart from the liar or mental option, there is a third option, and it's this one. Jesus is whom he claims to be. He speaks the truth. He is the Son of God indeed. And that should make us sit up. If then he speaks the full truth, we better listen. How truthful are we ourselves? I'll be honest, are we what we claim to be? Or are we often being deceptive hoping that no one will discover it before we die. Being cheated on by others is painful. But being deceived by yourself, living a lie, that is disastrous. That is bondage. That ties us down and sucks ultimately all joy of life out of us. Now, even today, we all have to make that choice what we make of Jesus. Do we believe his claim that he is the Son of God and therefore speaks the truth? And therefore we rather listen to him, or do we dismiss his words because we find it too uncomfortable to be confronted with our own deceptiveness or with our own delusions? If you do that, if you dismiss him and his words, you miss out on the most wonderful message that you will ever hear in your life. You miss out on the greatest experience that Jesus promises to those who believe in him. Now let's listen to him in verse 24. He says this, "I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." That, friends, is the gospel in a nutshell. And that's what we as church are on about. And that was what David Jones was talking about this morning when he explained it to the kids. This is what we as church are on about, to pass on this wonderful promise of Jesus. If you hear his word and believe him who sent him, you have eternal life. Actually, it's more than a promise. It's a statement. A statement of a fact. If you believe indeed that God has sent his Son in the person of Jesus, you have eternal life. You have it already, as you sit here in church. And you know that you have. See, believing this word of Jesus, accepting that he means to call you, that's not something of your own choice only. No, it's the Father himself who lets you make that choice. Somehow he puts into your heart and your conscience that you are actually living a lie. And that if the details of your life would be uncovered, you'll be condemned. Well, if you feel yourself being under that condemnation, I have good news for you. Most of us have been there. But we have accepted the solution Jesus offers. This solution, if you hear my word and believe in him who sent me, you have eternal life and you will not be condemned. You have crossed over from death to life. So Jesus is saying, once you were in the bunch who were on their way to death, the death party, so to speak. But by entrusting your life to Jesus, you have crossed over to the life party. Almost the whole world feels that they are on their way to their death. And for the time being, they try to make the most of it. That death is an inescapable reality for all who live on earth. But for those who have crossed over from death to life, it's totally different. Death is something that's behind them. Sure, also a Christian will have to give up his earthly life one day. But that does not affect his sure conviction that death cannot really touch him. For he has received life already, eternal life. And it's in us. That's what Jesus is saying. Have a look at verse 25. He just repeats his promise. He said, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. The dead will hear the voice of God. Who are these dead? And since when can dead people hear? You can talk whatever you like to a dead person. His ears may still be perfectly in order and haven't gone into the decay yet. And yet, once dead, you can't reach someone anymore, no matter how hard you try, except for Jesus. You can talk even to the dead and they will hear his voice. And again, who are these dead? And the answer is, these are all the people who have not received the life that Jesus promises, who have not, or not yet, accepted the word of him who has life in himself, who in their unbelief have closed their ears for him and his voice. See, unbelief makes you deaf. You know what? The dead Jesus is talking about here are people who are physically quite alive. They may enjoy life to the full and hardly ever think of the fact that they will have to die one day. They postpone that as far as possible in their mind. But from God's perspective, these people are not alive at all. They are already dead, spiritually dead, and there is no eternal life in them. But a time has come, says Jesus, that some of these dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God who is alive forever, and they will respond to that voice. They will admit their sinfulness, their deceptiveness, their pride, their egoism, their arrogance, all these sure signs of death. And they will reach for the life that Jesus offers. And every time when that happens, a miracle takes place. A dead person is hearing a voice. And a dead person believes what he hears. And a totally paralyzed person stands up and walks in faith. Have you heard his voice yet? And responded. Some hear that voice and react immediately. I recently met a guy who had not been brought up in a Christian environment. And when he was 18, a friend with whom he played in a band told him about Jesus, his death and his resurrection for our sins so that we could become alive. Now this young man straight away believed it and felt at that very moment eternal life entering into him while sitting at his drum kit. Can you believe it? I don't mean to say that's so amazing that even a drummer can believe, but that it would happen there and then. See, apparently God saw that his heart was ready for it, and he gave it to him on the spot. And when the guy told me about it, he said, Fred, I really thought that this was the way God always worked, but I was in for a big disappointment. I shared the same day my newfound faith with lots of unbelieving family and friends, and I thought I could all save them on the spot, but nothing happened. And it was quite a shock to me. That's what he said. Well, I can see that. We are all inclined to think that God works the same way with everybody. That the way our personal conversion came about, that we crossed over from death to life, that should be everybody's experience in the same way. Well, it isn't. God calls his people in one by one, and it's always a unique experience. because God knows you and knows how to work with you. Now back to Jesus. Why can he give life, eternal life, to people who believe in him? That's because the God of life, the Father in heaven, has granted him this right. God and Jesus are so completely one that believing in Jesus gives you access to this life. And if Jesus promises to give this life to you, his Father beforehand underwrites his offer of grace, and you'll have it. And again, isn't that amazing? The God who created this world, the God who gives life to everything that exists, is prepared to share this life with those who belong to Jesus. As it says somewhere else in the Bible, God loved the world so much that he decided that everybody who believes in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life. Now allow me to challenge you with this question. Have you responded in faith to Jesus? Are you prepared to gamble your life as you know it away, because you trust that the life he will give you is immeasurably greater than anything you've experienced so far? That's the point, of course. God's love, God's grace, eternal life is given you for free. You can't work for it. You can't deserve it. It's only given if you ask. But it comes at a cost. At the cost of this. From now on, life is not about you anymore. It's about Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And there's a great joy in being part of that. I'll tell you a secret. You just think about it. The real joy of life is not to be experienced as long as you want to be served, whatever it is. In the church, or in your family, or in your marriage, or even in your work. The real joy of life is not to be experienced as long as you want to be served. It only comes to you when you begin to serve. For in God's kingdom, only the servant is a free person. Now, if that secret has you puzzled, come and talk to me. Or find out whether other people understand what I try to say. The whole message of this morning and our theme, Spring to Life, comes together in a song that we are going to sing now. Consider Christ the source of our salvation. And while you sing it, try to absorb its message and give your heart to it. And you'll be blessed indeed. Amen.